Nobody knew that healthcare could be so complicated.
Trump was a failure on healthcare.
Hundreds of thousands of black Americans lost healthcare insurance. That is outrageous.
And if he's president again, he would cancel insurance for millions more of us.
We cannot go back. President Biden and Vice President Harris have lowered healthcare premiums and expanded coverage for black families. They also capped the price of insulin at $35. Joe Biden is getting the job done for people just like me.
I'm Joe Biden, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Biden for President.
Did I ever think I'd see the day that I would be in a campaign video running for election? No, I never did. But here I am, and I want to be the real voice of Dublin and Ireland in Europe. So please don't forget the elections are coming soon. 3 weeks away. A little over 3 weeks away. You'll get an opportunity to vote in the local and the European elections. Please give me your number one vote. I'll talk about that a bit more later on. But I'm just looking here. The Taoiseach Simon Harris has described as Trumpian. Matty McGrath's comments on immigration. Let's be clear about it. Simon Harris is not fit for the job. He is a beginner. He is temporary. He's not going to be there for very long. We all know that. He's completely out of his depth. He doesn't have the balls to actually deal with the problem that we have at the moment because he's pandering to the left and the NGOs. He has to go, just like the rest of the government and the opposition parties, who are lying to you, by the way. Lying to you. Because yesterday in the Dáil, of course, TDs challenged Simon Harris, saying, you know, sort this out, Simon. Look at these people along the canal. Let's be clear about it. Those same TDs, the majority of them, are the ones that championed all are welcome, all refugees welcome this time last year. And now they've done a U-turn because they want your vote in June. They want your vote in the general election. Don't believe them. They're all fibbing to you. They're all turncoats. Every single last one of them. They swing with the wind. We'll talk about that later on. But first, what I want to talk about is another failure of the Irish government. And let's be clear about it. The government have failed in many aspects of life. But one of the biggest ones is supporting the family. So much so that they wanted you to remove the word family and mother from the Constitution, but failed miserably to do that. And that's why you should vote against them in all these elections. The government parties wanted you to say yes to removing the word mother and family from our constitution because they don't value the family the way they should. And that's really the root of all our problems in this country, is our population. It's declining. When I say it's declining, Irish people are having less children. Ireland's baby boom is well and truly over, according to the latest figures, which show the birth rate has fallen by 20% in the last decade. You might not think that's catastrophic, but it is. There were 57,540 babies born in the state in 2022, a drop of 1.5% on 2021. A decade ago, in 2012, there were 71,000 babies born in the similar year. With a smaller population base as well, of course, you've got to remember at the time too. The Celtic Tiger baby boom peaked in 2009 at 75,554 children. The annual birth rate has fallen in the last decade from 15.7% per thousand, or 15.7 children per thousand in 2012 to 11.3 thousand, meaning that just more than 11 babies were born in 2022 per 11 or per thousand people. Problem is, we are now at a critical level. The population rate at the moment, or should I say the population replacement rate, is 2.3. We're now at 1.7. We're in serious trouble. And that means our population will get older. And the only way to fix that, according to the government, it seems at the moment, is to import people. But that doesn't work always, because as much as we appreciate and we respect diversity, and we should, because, of course, our hospitals and our services across the country, particularly, you know, in the entertainment service, the hotel industry, the restaurant industry, we are providing a lot of employment for people all across Europe and all across the world. And we need them, and they are vital to our economy. But what we don't need are people who are unskilled, unemployed and homeless in the country, because that just puts a burden on our economy. That's not how we replace the population. How we replace the population is by encouraging people to have more children. But how can people have more children when they have nowhere to actually live? or they can't afford somewhere to live. If you all you can afford is a one-bedroom apartment or a two-bedroom apartment with your partner, well, then it's not worth having more than 1.5 children, according to the statistics, by the way. I know you can't have 1.5 children, but you know what I mean. Now, some time ago in 2019, I know Viktor Orban is not liked by many people, but by many people he is liked. He decided that he would make it tax-free to have more than 4 children. So if you have more than 4 children as a woman, you will never have to pay tax in your life again. That's what he said. And that's what he done. He also gave a lifetime personal income tax exemption for women who gave birth and raised at least 4 children and a subsidy of €8,825 towards the purchase of a 7-seater vehicle for families with 3 or more children. In other words, they gave you money towards your car. A low interest loan of €35,000 for women under the age of 40 who are marrying for the first time. A third of the debt will be forgiven when the second baby is born and the entire loan will be waived on the third child. He's given you money to have children. What do we do in Ireland? We won't help people with childcare costs. We encourage people not to stay at home and look after their children, be it male or female, by the way, mothers or fathers. We don't provide, well, third level education is out of the reach of many people when it comes to costs because they might be slightly over the threshold and can't get a Susie grant. The cost of raising children in Ireland is astronomical. So many people, that's why so many people are moving. We don't support the family. We support the family, it's the answer to a lot of problems. It's not going to happen today or tomorrow, but our next generation will feel and reap the benefits. So is it a good idea to basically say to women, I tell you what, you will never have to pay tax again if you have 4 children. Is that a good idea? Let me know what you think. The number is 085-122-55. That's 085-122-55. Keith, hi, how are you?
Niall, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. An interesting concept, you know, you'll never have to pay tax again. We'll give you a tax-free loan of $35,000 and we'll even pay money towards a, you know, a people carrier for you if you have 4 kids. Would it make a difference?
I'm not sure if it's for 4 kids. Like if somebody doesn't want to have children or 4 children, I'm not sure a tax incentive will help. But I think it's something that people don't talk about. You usually hear the opposite. That people are having too many kids and there's too many.
Who says that, Keith?
But the statistics do show that birth rates are declining, but you never usually hear that in mainstream media.
They're reclining rapidly, by the way, can I point out. We're now at a critical point that if we don't do something about it, you know, from our point of view, we're at a situation where in 20 years' time, our population will age quite rapidly and we'll end up paying out huge amounts of pensions with nobody actually working to pay those pensions.
Yeah.
So that's a problem.
And there's a lot of talk about this that, you know, particularly along like with movements on the left and stuff like that about, you know, women should focus on their careers and things like that. And that is fine. If people want to focus on their careers, it's up to them. But a lot of people are like celebrating that they're not having children. Like there's these movements and these things on TikTok and Instagram. Have you heard of the DINK concept?
No, I haven't. Explain it to me.
Yeah, it's a big thing on. So I see in the news all the time, but it's a big thing. Influencers on Instagram. DINK means dual income or double income and no kids.
Okay.
And you see these people going around and saying, oh, well, we're so happy. We don't have children. We don't have children. We can spend time together and travel around the world and we don't have the hassle of kids. And it's like kind of pointing out like it's a bad thing to have a family, which isn't true.
No, of course, because if everybody had the same viewpoint, the humanity would be in a bad place.
We'd be
all gone in a couple of generations. But you are right. We are, I suppose, discouraging the family. We're discouraging people from having children. The mindset shouldn't change. I mean, women are maternal by nature. And so can fathers be too. So the mindset shouldn't change and probably doesn't. It's what we're telling people and how we're encouraging them, i.e. we're not giving them money.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was like, there was an article I read the other day in the New York Times that a lot of women are like, if under social pressure, are like focusing on their careers. And then when they get to their late 30s, some of them are having regrets about not starting a family. And at that stage for a woman, it can be too late.
I mean, we have discouraged women from the point of view that the average woman used to, if you go back 30 years ago, have their first child between 18 and 21. Now the average age is 32 for a first child. So we've gone up at least 10 years.
Yeah.
And you are right, it can be more difficult obviously for a woman to start having a family at 32 years of age because it might take a few goes, you know what I mean? And, you know, it could be a slow process sometimes, you know, and by the time they have, you know, the second child, they're nearly into their 40s. And that's the kind of end of that, isn't it?
That's it, because if in a medical standpoint, they say the statistics of a woman in her 30s is like, there's only a small chance, and a woman over 35 is like even a smaller chance, too negligible that they could conceive.
Yeah. Well, the older you get, the possibility of having children goes down, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah. And you do see it. Like, I've noticed the trends myself just like from growing up and looking at just how the dynamics are, that a lot of women are actually having children later, and there are a lot of women out there that are in their late 30s, early 40s, or even in their mid 40s that are still open to children, but they may not.
Then getting back to my original question, whether you like or dislike Viktor Orban, I mean, the idea that you pay people essentially to have more babies, in other words, you're giving them tax incentives, you're giving them money towards a car, you're giving them a tax-free loan, which will be waived once you have four children. I mean, is that a good, would that work? Would that make a difference? And it would pay benefits because every one of those children will be a worker. Every one of those children will pay tax in the future, hopefully. So, you know, you do get it back.
Yeah, no, it's a good idea, but then having a policy or an idea like that, it's like, do you think it would convince women then to have more children? Like, I'm sure there's more things than just the promise of tax breaks. I don't know if I was a woman and I thought, oh, well, if I do have four children or more children, I'll get tax breaks.
Well, say there, let's just get a female perspective on this. I'm going to come to Louise in a second, but Lorraine first. Lorraine, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are you?
Now, you have three children.
And, I have.
And by the way, you know, I had three children too. It's difficult to raise three children, you know, if your hands are full. Would you manage a fourth?
I'm a stay-at-home mom, so I am in the position, if I did want a fourth, I could have a fourth. I don't have the pressures of trying to find minders and babysitters and all of that stuff. Now, I'm not open to have a fourth because I've inherited Jay's children, so I'm fine.
Okay. Yeah, you've eight now, but I suppose. Yeah.
I have eight now. So I have enough. I just want to say, is that, can I move to Hungary? Do you want to come with me? I think the incentive, it sounds brilliant. You're getting all this stuff. You're getting tax-free. You're getting the thing. It does sound brilliant. But at the same time, if you look at the dynamics now, like, I know some of my friends have only had one or two kids because they want to focus on their careers. They want to go that way as well. Like, I just think...
Yeah, but if we all... I mean, I understand, you know, how we've shifted over the last 30 years to, you know, encouraging women to be in careers. That's great, by the way. But, you know, what we're doing is encouraging both parents to be in careers. And that's not good for humanity because, unfortunately, that doesn't leave us with much time to have children. And if everybody thinks like that, we're doomed eventually.
Oh, 100%. I totally agree. I think it sounds brilliant. I personally think it sounds brilliant. And as I said, I'm in the position where I can actually have a fourth and I'm not worrying about the cost of childcare. I'm not worrying about all of that extra expense because with Jay's job and stuff, we're actually quite financially okay. So I'm not worrying about that. I would, if I could have a fourth, and if I want, I could. I'm not worrying about the cost. Like, it's nearly what I know my friend is paying €1,000 a month for childcare. Like, they're not getting no help off the government. Our government is fucking useless when it comes to the family. We're forgotten about. That's the problem. In Ireland, the family is forgotten about.
That wasn't always the way it was, but that's only happened in the last 20 years.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, as I said to your the producer, like, my nanny had 16 kids back 50 years ago. And, like, it just suddenly declined. So our government has totally forgot about us. Like, the price of childcare in this country, the price of houses, the price of sending your kids to school, but we don't get any help with that. It's like we're forgotten about. As you said, they tried to bring in a referendum to get rid of the family out of the Constitution and get rid of mother.
Well, that's what they think of you. You know what I mean? That's obviously
that's
how
mean,
much...
We're, yeah. We're totally mind you,
but hold on. When you look at it, the population of the country, 70% of the population, rejected that idea. So it's clear the government are wrong when it comes to rejecting the family or ignoring the family.
Oh, yeah, I know, I get that. But we don't get any help. You're not getting any help. You're not getting any incentive. Like, a mother in Ireland's not getting any incentive. Like, if you're working a minimum wage job and you have your child in creche, most of your money is going to the creche or your rent. Or that type of stuff. So I think something like an incentive like that would help. It would take the burden off families, take the burden off the mothers.
I mean, it doesn't have to be four children, don't get me wrong. I mean, you could incentivise, you know, with some sort of tax breaks or whatever, you know, if you have over two, for example, because two is the average. Well, 1.7 is the average now. Which is, and by the way, somebody texted in and said, Niall, what do you mean it's below replacement level? But it means that more people die every year than are being born, essentially.
It does. I think they do need to look at it completely and look at it like they can help the family out. They can help us out with a break. They can help us, just help us out, even the childcare. Like, I think it's Norway or somewhere that the childcare is free or the creches are free if you're working. And, like, that type of stuff would help immensely.
Okay, well, stay there for a second.
How you doing, Niall? How are you?
Good. Sean, are we discouraging women from actually having children? You know, the idea of the family, it seems to have vanished completely.
Of course there is, Niall. You know, I think Louise pointed out there, I come from a very, very large family. And, you know, there was a two up, two down, or a one up, whatever you want to call it. It was two bedrooms. Yeah, two up, two down, Niall, back in the day. And we all, I don't know how we all fit in it, but we did fit in it. And we were all brought up. And then I'll say this, Niall, you know, and I'm only going to bring you back to what happened with us. We were, you know, me and my partner, we were having our first child at 19, you know, and that was a long time ago. It's 21 years ago now. So, you know, I'm looking around these day and ages now, my nieces, my nephews, and they're not having kids because they can't afford it because they're still living at home with mommy and daddy. And, you know, they've nowhere to go, Niall. They have good jobs. They do. They're good, you know,
but not good enough. Not good enough to buy a house.
No, and I'm not. You know, this ideology of, oh, you're living in Dublin, you're never going to afford a house. They're living all over the country and they can't afford a house because it's just gone crazy all over the country. No matter where you go.
But the fact
of the matter is, look, even me myself there, and I was talking to Elaine there earlier, and I was telling Elaine the same story. Even if we wanted it today, Niall, we have two kids. If we wanted to have another one, Niall, I wouldn't, and I tell you why I wouldn't, because of the fucking sheer damn expensive, you know, to have another one. Because it's so, I can't afford to piss at the moment, so, you know, really. And I don't know anybody that can, because the amount of money that, everything has just gone through the fucking roof. The gas, the ESV, the shopping bills, you know, anything that needs to be done.
And the ridiculous amount you spent on the communion recently, we won't go into that. But yeah.
But that's only once in a year, you know, once in a lifetime. But the fact that they deserve it, Niall, by the way. But the fact of the matter is, though, you know, I think this is a great idea. May I say this, Niall? If a girl has a child today, give her $2,000 straight away to help her with the baby costs, to help her with get set up. She deserves it. The country should be doing it. Because I'll tell you why they should be doing it, Niall. Instead of giving hundreds of millions away to foreigners coming in, they're having 5 and 10. They're fucking popping kids all over the place. Anywhere you look, they have a trail of kids with them. You know, I know what the government are doing. We all know what they're doing. They're flooding this country with immigrants. They're going to have the kids. We can't afford to have the kids. They're doing better than us. It's crazy. This is madness, Niall, the way this is going. You know, what they should have been doing is doing this in the first place.
Well, there's only two choices to fix the problem. And the two choices are, one, which we're failing miserably at the moment, which is allowing people to flood into the country, which is ridiculous, right?
Yes.
And the other option is to encourage Irish people to have children. Because if we don't do one or the other, we have to do one or the other. We will have nobody here in 50 or 60 years. When I say nobody here, we'll have an aging population in 50 or 60 years.
Skeleton crew, yes, no.
And that's no good for the economy and for the future.
And I mean this, Niall, and you know, we're only in our 40s. If you said to us, if the government said to us tomorrow, listen, by the way, women there, you start, anybody that has a child there in the next few months, from now on in the next few, you're tax-free. And then, and only then, to give her a couple of grand. You know, this is...
As a major research institution, Arizona State University offers the most online bachelor's degree programs, along with world-class faculty and dedicated support. Discover why ASU is ranked number one in innovation for 9 consecutive years. Tap to learn more.
Nobody knew that healthcare could be so complicated.
Trump was a failure on healthcare.
Hundreds of thousands of Black Americans lost healthcare insurance. That is outrageous.
And if he's president again, he would cancel insurance for millions more of us.
We cannot go back. President Biden and Vice President Harris have lowered healthcare premiums and expanded coverage for Black families. They also capped the price of insulin at $35. Joe Biden is getting the job done for people just like me.
I'm Joe Biden, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Biden for President.
I'm thinking with you here. If you have a child, you're tax-free for 5 years. And then if you have another one, you're tax-free for another 5 years.
Lovely.
And if you have another one,
lovely,
keep going.
And $3,000 per child, whatever it may be, because it is going to be worth it.
It's money well spent.
These are the people that we're having. They're going to be putting it back into the economy. And
right, they'd be popping them out like there's no tomorrow, if that was the case.
Absolutely. It just works. It works. It's a great idea.
It is about money for a lot of people. Now, don't get me wrong, it's not as simple as what we're talking about. There's a lot of other things too. Like, we got to reduce the price of housing. We got to make education more affordable for people who are struggling. We got to do all of those things.
The stigma off women as well, though.
The stigma.
Off women as well. As Jay said, I got slated for staying at home and choosing to be a stay-at-home mom. I was called a sponger. I was called everything. The stigma has to be taken off women as well.
No, it's just, I mean, it's a job. It's just as difficult to be a stay-at-home mom as go out to the office every day. You know what I mean? It's a job. Yeah. And some people juggle both, by the way.
I'd rather you spend time at home, Louise, than you giving it to a childcare company for, you know, what's the point in that?
Yeah.
What is the point of that? There is no point.
That's what we chose to do. Because we were given, both of us were working. I went back to work after I had my first child. Now I have three, but I went back to work after my first. And we were given out my wages on childcare.
Yeah.
I want to say that, both of you, because I want to go to Morris. And I think I'm going to disagree with Morris for the first time ever. But sorry, go ahead, Morris.
You won't get me a vote if you don't disagree with me. Yeah, I am.
I hope you're all voting for me, by the way. Sean, you better vote for me.
Sure are.
Go ahead, Mark.
That's a given. Yeah, sorry, just to let you know, now, my sister is 81 today. She's the eldest. I'm the youngest, right? And she promised me on her birthday, I'll give Niall Boylan my number one vote.
Ah, thanks.
There you go.
Now, it says on my screen, Morris says, no way women shouldn't be used as breeders.
Exactly.
But that's
what they are. Hang on, lads. Morris, finish what you're saying.
Give him a minute
to explain it. Go on.
Yeah, what I'm saying to you is, I don't have an awful lot of respect for this man, the leader of the Hungarian Parliament.
Viktor Orban,
I don't like him because of his attitude towards women. So he's come up with an idea to financially give women money for bringing children into the world for one purpose only, is to grow up, get a job, and pay taxes to keep the country going and keep him in his politician's job, right? I think that's horrendous.
He won't be around, Bobby, he won't be even in the job.
But Morris, is that not the plan?
You know what I mean? That's how the economy works. We have children, they pay tax, they keep the country going.
Did you ever watch the Beehive movie?
You shouldn't be portraying it as if you're bringing children into the world to be slaves for the government.
Yeah, but they're not slaves.
That's realistically what it is, Morris. I'm sorry to even be blunt about this.
And listen, and now I'll tell you the reason why. You're missing the point, because I'm in the situation where I was like Noel. I had three children, right? And two of them are walking away foreign. I have three grandchildren in England. By rights, the government pushed younger generations out of this country because they didn't want to give 100%. Them jobs. They couldn't look after them and fuck them out, right? And we're missing, there's three generations, I think, gone out of this country now where there would be kids. And they're not. They're all in England, France,
absolutely,
Scotland, wherever
they're in Australia.
And here's the other part of it, right? I got an email sent to me today with a photograph of a house outside of Dublin on sale down in Kerry. Nice area. 780,000 for a 4-bedroom house.
Okay.
Who the fuck would want to have children and pay that mortgage? Now, here's my argument, right? I have a friend of mine who came back to Ireland over 20 years ago. He came into Dublin, he got a job in my company, he married, he had one child, he had his mortgage, and then they got pregnant again and they had twins. Here's his first day of getting his children minded, and his first month. £1,700 a month childcare for the three kids and £1,300 a month for his mortgage. How the fuck is that man supposed to live? How is anybody supposed to live in this country?
Well, isn't this the point that we have? There's a load of other things we need to do too, like make childcare more affordable, you know, depending on your wages, et cetera, et cetera. Like, he shouldn't be paying that much money for childcare. And also, women like Lorraine who stay at home to raise their children, and there are many of them in this country, they should be looked after.
Yeah, exactly. And Lorraine understands, and so does Jay, as I do, that children are like a marriage. If you put nothing into them, you'll get nothing back. And Morris,
when you say women shouldn't be breeders, right? Now, I know that sounds crass, right? And it sounds crude. But essentially, of the species, women are breeders. Because women are the only ones that can have children. Men can't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
no, you understand
so
that,
and if we have an attitude that there's something wrong with that, well, that's the end of humanity, so.
I just think him coming out saying what he's saying is more or less saying, should we get all the women in, we'll get them pregnant, and they'll produce enough water.
Yeah, but Morris,
one at a time.
Let me finish. We all come from a country in Ireland where I know Niall is an atheist, but you grow up, you get married, you're blessed by God, you have children, and you rear them. And you
it doesn't matter whether I'm an atheist at all. I agree with you, Morris. I believe everything you've just said.
Yeah, I'm not married. You don't have to be married. I understand that it's changed now. And we had the lady on top.
I believe in marriage. Yeah, I believe marriage.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah. Sorry, Lorraine, you want to say something to Morris there about the breeder bit? Go ahead.
Yeah.
He didn't put it as breeding, but you're putting it out there. He's telling people to go out and have children left, right and centre, that every woman in Hungary should go out and get pregnant for money. But you've got to look at it.
Yeah.
We're forgotten about. Me as a stay-at-home man, Mars, I'm forgotten about. I'm left thinking, all right, you have your kids, you don't have to worry about it. I'm forgotten about when it comes to this government. If I got an incentive like that, I'm not saying I'd go out and get pregnant tomorrow, but it would help out. You know what it's like when you have a newborn baby. The cost of natural milk ever to them. It'd be a good incentive, not an incentive, but it'd be a good way of helping everybody else.
Because, Morris, what is the alternative, Morris? If we continue the way we're going, our population is going to decrease, unless, of course, we import people, it's going to decrease rapidly.
Any government that wanted to take the word family out of the Constitution and get rid of
you're not giving me an answer to the question I've asked you.
No, they're not family orientated now. Why would people come back to a country that's broken?
No, but I'm asking you a question.
But you're not answering the question, Morris. You're not answering the question.
There are only two answers.
What's the alternative?
Okay, there's two answers to the problem. Okay, so we're below population replacement rate. More people die than are born every year, right, in this country. Okay, so we're below the rate of replacement of the population. If that continues, in 30 years' time, most of the population will be over 65 years of age, right? Pensioners, right? We can't have that situation, right? Because there'll be nobody to pay the pensions, right? So here's the thing. We've two options here. We encourage people, Irish people, to have more children by incentivizing them to do it and telling them to do it or asking them to do it. Or you import more people from other parts of the world and then the demographic of the whole country changes completely.
So that's what they're doing anyway. That's flooding the country. They're not giving us the opportunity. Hold on, Morris. They're not giving us the opportunity to have more kids. They're not giving the women, the Irish women, the incentives to have more kids, the tax breaks to have more kids. Yes, they'd spend hundreds of millions on bringing in Ukrainians and this and that. There's more than now because the money's going down to 38 euro. But, like, what the fuck did they expect? You know, did they actually think
let Morris respond. Morris, which of the two choices would you prefer? You've only two.
Yeah, well, to be honest with you now, you understand where you're coming from and the way it's portrayed, and we all look at things differently and we have our own opinions. Here's two options I'll give. Any family that wants to come back to Ireland that are Irish, that had to emigrate because of a bad government, you should be given 40 to 50,000 to help them get a property on the market, right?
Okay, what about
Let him finish.
Let me finish. Don't be jumping down my throat now. I'm the youngest in the family. Have respect. The other option would be raise the retirement age to 75 for men and women, and then nobody be claiming
that's not
pension
fair.
Because they'd be all dead.
No, that's not fair. Not at all. Hold on for a minute. I want to say this, Morris. What do you think? You're smoking something there, are you? You actually think that you raise they done that already, and you think that was fair on people, and then you want to do it to 75. Sure, you know quite well. Most of the people in this island of Ireland are fucked come 60, 70. You never mind anything else, and you want to go to 75? You're joking me.
I'm 60, Sean. I'm not.
Okay. Thank God you're not running for election, Morris.
Morris, raising the retirement age to 70 would be so unfair. They tried to raise it to 67. That didn't work out too well. That's not an answer. Yeah. You know, just because we don't have the money for the pensions, we need to make the money for the pensions. And the only way, look, we're not going to solve this problem tomorrow or in 5 years, because it takes time for somebody to become 18 years of age and start working. But we need to encourage people to go back to having children. I'm not saying going back to having 9 and 10 children like they did in the 1930s, because that's unsustainable. Yeah. But go back to a reasonable level above the population replacement level, which is maybe three kids.
What did we aspire to do when we grow up? Copy your mother and father, buy a house and have a family.
But we're not doing that anymore. We're not doing it.
No, because it's financially unavailable to anybody.
Exactly, isn't that the point?
That's where the incentive comes in. Morris. You're going around in a loop here.
No, you shouldn't be using women as breeders and fucking cattle market.
But they are. They are.
Niall, can I respond to
that? Yeah, go on, you breeder, yeah. Go on, right?
Yeah, Morris, I am the breeder of the population. Why is that word annoying you?
I just think women should be treated with more respect.
What do you want me to say? Birthing mother of my children. Is that what you want me to say?
No, as far as I'm concerned...
Birthing person, please. Sorry, I was only saying that for a laugh. I don't believe in that shite. Go on. Thanks, Morris.
I have to go and do some chest feeding. See you later.
Right. Let me go to Maury.
Imagine him running for elections. Mother of God.
I don't think he'd get elected after saying that.
No.
Maureen, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Good. Maureen, okay, getting back to incentivizing women to have babies. This was, as I said, something that they didn't Hungary 4 or 5 years ago. I don't know how successful it's been. It doesn't seem to have been too successful yet, but it could take time to work. It's only 5 years. Do you think it's a good idea?
Yeah, I do think it's a good idea. Mm-hmm. But it's not only Orban is doing it. Putin is doing it.
He is?
Putin. There is a lovely basket, a gift basket sent to every mother in every maternity hospital on the birth of their baby. He's also giving land now to families so that he can farm the land. I mean, he's looking after his own people. So I think it's a good idea. And it doesn't matter if a woman wants 4 children, she wants 5 children or 6 children. It's enshrined in the Constitution anyway. But to have, you see, both parents having to stay at home, sure, how can they manage it? Should the cost of living in this country to find a place to rent, plus the amount of people that we have in here already, we can't support everybody.
Last year we spent nearly 4 billion on immigration in this country. Imagine if we spent the 4 billion encouraging women to have children by incentivizing families.
The foreigners that are here already, if they hear that's going to the Irish people, sure, they're going to kick up and say, well, we want the same.
We'll go home then.
What's going to happen is that they're going to have children anyway, you know, the people are talking about. And eventually they're going to outbreed the Irish.
Of course he will.
Don't use the word breed again. Morris has an issue with it.
I don't have an issue with it, because that's the correct term to use.
We're animals. We breed.
Irish
okay.
To people.
Yeah.
There will be no indigenous Irish people.
We should do what Australia do and not let anyone that's not from Australia have kids in Australia. They're sent home as soon as they get to the border, or they're pregnant. They're sent back to whatever country they're from.
Well, we already have that legislation in the referendum since 2004, whereby if you come here pregnant, the child doesn't automatically get citizenship. Although Sinn Féin, by the way, rejected that. Just to let people know, in case they've forgotten this, by the way. In 2004, Michael McDougall, of course, was the Minister for Justice, and he decided to have a referendum, which was to close the loophole of people coming here and having children and that child automatically being a citizen. It was called the Anchor Baby Law, rudely at the time. But anyway, Sinn Féin rejected the population. I think it was 80% of the population voted in favour of removing that from the Constitution, not to allow people to become citizens just because they're pregnant. But Sinn Féin rejected that. And only in 2019, by the way, Sinn Féin tried to get a backdoor through that again, by the way, and get rid of that, even though the people had spoken. So when Sinn Féin turn around and tell you now they're not open border party, I personally don't believe it. Anyway, getting back to what we're talking about, Maureen, I would agree. I think we need to incentivize, but there's it's not as simple.
you know, if any economist was listening to this, they'd say he's mad, because it's not as simple as just giving money to people. You know, you have to incentivize people in other ways. I mean, for example, childcare costs need to be affordable. Mm-hmm. Housing needs to be affordable. Education needs to be affordable. All those things need to be affordable for children.
Oh, yeah, well, we may achieve all that. If and when we get rid of what's in Leinster House, we might start to afford that and be able to achieve it. But as long as any one of them are sitting up in there, we won't.
Well, your opportunity is on June the 7th, the local and European elections, and then you have another opportunity in November.
They don't give a damn about the Irish people. They just give a damn.
I've got a good feeling, Noel.
Yeah, but hold on, Mara. They just give a damn about what's coming into the country, because that's the EU directive. And it's coming from more than the EU directive. It's coming from the World Health Organization and the World Economic Forum. All these are all directives. We have no authority over our own country, because they are bowing like puppets. They have them on a lead. Ursula von der Leyen, as I call her now, have them on a lead.
You tell us what to do anyway, you know.
Well, in fairness, Maureen, 80%, that's why I would like to obviously go to Europe to represent the Irish people, because 80% of our laws, roughly, come from the European Union. Sorry, Sean, you're trying to say something there.
By our own laws anymore.
I think we're 400 billion into the EU. Are we, Noel? Something like that.
Well, here's the thing. The EU was, I mean, originally the concept was a wonderful idea of countries working together and helping each other. And that's a great idea. And by the way, that's the way the EU should work. But unfortunately, the EU has turned into a dictatorship now, because so many of the MEPs are on the left that essentially it's turned into some sort of diktat. But I think that's going to change this year, because I think you're going to see a lot of MEPs from across Europe, not just here in Ireland, who would be on the centre-right move in, which is going to hopefully change things.
Well, Niall, the nature restoration law.
I do indeed. I'm well aware of it. Yeah.
Every one of the 15 Irish MEPs were out there last year.
Well, look what happened yesterday. Ireland didn't even vote for the EU migration pact. People, by the way, think they abstained. They didn't. They just didn't vote.
Yeah. But every one of those MEPs voted for the nature restoration law.
Yeah, I know. I know. Even the Fine Gael ones who claimed they were against it. Well, there you go. Maureen, thank you very much. Sorry, Sean, stay with me there for a second. I got to go to Tony and then I got to Carol as well. Tony, hi, how are you?
Good afternoon, Noel. How are you?
I'm good, Tony. Tony, when it comes to, Maureen has got into the EU as well, which she's right, of course, that, you know, 75 to 80% of our laws come from Europe, or our directives as well come from Europe. So, but getting back to, you know, providing for the family, do you think it's a good idea? The idea that you would, you know, give a decent tax incentive to women to have children?
Of course it is, Noel. And to stay at home as well and look after them children.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be incentives given for people to have children. They can't expect children to take out big 35-year mortgages of 400,000 or 500,000 euro and both go out to work and then have kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible. But I honestly think, and I did think long and hard about this, I would have been a bit sceptical maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago about the replacement theory, but I definitely now think we're being replaced.
100%.
Yeah. I definitely do, because what's happening is there's up to 100,000 people, young people, I had put in for work visas in Australia last year. As them people are leaving, but just like their replacements are coming through the airport as well.
Of course.
As our young skilled people are leaving, we're getting God only knows what that's coming into the country, and they're being incentivized.
But here's the thing, right? We have a huge problem, and that problem is we're not having babies. You know, and we're not the only country, by the way, suffering from this. Italy are worse than we are.
Incentivized. If they were incentivized to have babies, it's like Simon Harris 6 months ago put out
looking for Irish people to come back home again. Yeah.
So with no incentive, they didn't say, "And we'll give you 50 euros if you come home." It's just come home. Come home to what? What are they coming home to? Our city is being destroyed. Our country is being destroyed. Our canals now are being effectively cut off from the Irish public and from the tourists.
No, what's happening at the canals and what's happening in Dublin at the moment in relation to people being set up in tents and these tents being provided by NGOs, by the way, out of your taxpayers' money, then the government destroy them and give them more money to buy more, is ridiculous. Yeah. Ridiculous. And by the way, see all the arseholes from the opposition parties that are going down, you know, doing their videos. You know, down on Mount Street there previously and on the canal now doing their videos for...
Nobody knew that healthcare could be so complicated.
Trump was a failure on healthcare.
Hundreds of thousands of black Americans lost healthcare insurance. That is outrageous.
And if he's president again, he would cancel insurance for millions more of us.
We cannot go back. President Biden and Vice President Harris have lowered healthcare premiums and expanded coverage for black families. They also capped the price of insulin at $35. Joe Biden is getting the job done for people just like me.
I'm Joe Biden, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Biden for president.
Voting themselves for the election, right? All the opposition parties. These are a bunch of idiots. These are the same ones who last year said all are welcome. This is their fault. And the government's fault. But it's their fault.
Do you know what, Noel? Just that you said there, all are welcome. I can never get my head around that. I still can't, you know.
Some people are welcome. Not all. Some people are welcome. But, of course.
Yes, of course. And that's always going to be the way. But when people come out and say, all are welcome, and I've seen these signs, and I've seen this, and I've seen... I'm like, how the fuck are we going to manage this?
Well, no, the all are welcome, or all refugees welcome, whatever it is that the hashtag they put up, is the most illogical thing you could... No, it's the most illogical thing you could ever say in your life. Does that mean everybody, criminals, pedos, sex offenders, murderers, are they all welcome? Is everybody welcome? Yeah.
Well, Noel, you seen what happened there to the guy there? You seen him? I don't know if you've seen the videos. I don't want to really get into it too much. But he was was knocked out on the ground. The guard, he got him.
I saw him, yeah.
He was up in court and he was released by the fucking judge. I'm like, how does that happen? You know, how is this happening? He's back out on the streets again. I'm like, right, okay, you tried to take a child there.
Well, according to the locals, he did, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. He got a good hiding, didn't he? Yeah.
He did, but the fact of the matter is, Noel.
I don't encourage people taking the law into their own hands.
I don't either. Yeah. No, yeah. But what I'm afraid of is one of these is going to get seriously hurt, if not killed. And what's going to happen then is everybody, oh Jesus, look what's happening here, because nobody wants that, Noel. Nobody wants to see this.
Well, look, we're going off on a bit of a tangent, Sean, and I understand the point you're making. But let me just go to Carl. Say there, Sean. Carl, yeah. Dieter, of course, who knows a lot more about economics than I do, certainly when it comes to property, etc. Carl. I mean, when I look at Viktor Orban's plan from 2019, which he still has in, by the way, now, so far, it hasn't been hugely successful, but these things can take time. But the idea that you're going to offer people money to have children, give them a loan that they never have to pay back of 34 grand, give them 8 grand towards a family car, you know, to encourage people to have children, is it a good idea?
I don't know. It's difficult to say. I mean, obviously, if it was done and it's not working, there's an argument to say that it doesn't work.
I think these things take time. You know what I mean? It's not going to happen in 4 years.
Well, you've baked up a few kids yourself now, so it takes less than 4 years. I'm pretty sure that if it was a great idea, loads of people would have responded to it already. But, our kids actually, it's interesting because they are actually born into a mortgage called the national debt. And they're born into a system where there's a massive debt that is huge that's not accounted for. And it's called the state pension scheme for people who work for the state and for old age pensioners. We don't actually account for that as a debt, but it very much is a real debt. And we have to pay for that every year out of current year taxation. So we actually need loads of kids in order to pay that debt. Now, if you were to say, oh, look, have 4 children, get a tax break for who? Because it can't be the mother of 4 kids, realistically. They won't have time to go to work. So would it be the partner, the husband? The thing is, who will have more children as a result of this incentive? I don't know, but will it create knock-on effects?
We will as the family. That's who will have it. If we got it, I'm not telling you already, but I don't know if you were listening, but I told Noel, if we as a family, well, we have 2 kids at the moment, okay? And I stress this, that we can't have any more because it's too expensive. It really is, in our eyes anyway. But if there was a group, a tax break for even me and my, you know, or a tax group that I could use for tax credits even, maybe, that I can go and say, right, okay, I'm getting a bit more tax relief. I can walk a bit more. I can get a bit more money in my pocket. That'll work. Anything.
Out of curiosity, how much tax would you pay a year? Just round figures. I'm not asking for your personal information.
How much would I pay a year?
In tax, roughly.
Well, roughly, Jesus. You got to be talking about what? I'm talking about 15 grand, you know, literally.
Right.
So if you gave me an extra £5,000 back in my pocket, sorry?
If you're paying 15 grand and you have a non-working partner, you're probably earning, and this is just, again, a guesstimate, so you don't have to say yes or no, probably about 75,000 a year-ish. You actually only
I'm in between two people. Sorry, I'm talking about, I'm talking about two people here. Okay. Me and my partner.
Okay, so, all right, well then. So both of you, I think the current tax cut-off point of 20%, it's up around 38,000, and then you go on to the higher rate. But the point is, once you have a third child or a fourth child, would it be realistic that your partner would be able to continue to work? So, I mean, what would happen in that case is maybe, I mean, they could look, they could undo what McCreevy did back 23 years ago and just say that in a married couple, and I think it is important, by the way, to stress the importance of marriage as opposed to just having kids, that in a married couple that you can get the entirety of the other person's tax credits.
That should be a given, by the way. I've always thought that should be a given.
Yes.
Well, look,
if your wife is not working and you're a unit, a family unit, working together and using your finances together, there is no reason why you shouldn't be allowed to use the tax credit.
Can I just point out for the record, guys? Can I just point out for the record? Me and my partner are here, we're together 23 years. We're not married. Just because I don't have a piece of paper doesn't mean I'm not.
Yeah, but to be recognised by the state as a unit, I mean...
Yeah, but we shouldn't. We shouldn't have to be married in Ireland. That's my point. I'm paying taxes.
That's kind of what the marriage referendum in part was about.
No, I get that.
We're going off on a bit of a tangent. I want to get back to Carl. The point
is... I do empathise with the situation.
Okay.
Marriage is the contract upon which families in this country are based.
Mm-hmm.
Now, agree, disagree. That's just how it works in taxation.
Okay. Carl, getting back to the original point, 1.7 children, the replacement rate is 2.3, so we're well below it, okay? That means we're in trouble in a generation's time if we don't do one or two things, which is encourage people to have children or import loads of people. So we've two options if we want to keep the population up and we want people to keep paying taxes to pay for those pensions.
You can do both, or you can have a population collapse, which also has happened in the past in Ireland. You know, that's another solution, terrible solution. So what you've got to think about is what is likely, and can you encourage people to have children, which is a massive undertaking, or could you ramp up immigration? Now, people say, but immigration, and then you straight away get talking about the tents and the canals. We could actually have an immigration program that rewards the best and brightest to come here and tell them, come here if you've got, you know, a PhD, a master's, high-skilled.
We're doing that already. Didn't they reduce the qualifications for getting a work visa to make it easier for people to come here?
So there are skills visas available, but what I'm saying is you could make a tax plan for highly skilled individuals to come and live in Ireland, which again is a different approach. You know, I'm just saying that there's many different ways to look at this. We probably won't get there on our own, because even if everyone decided to have a shag fest tomorrow and punch out kids left and right, those children still have to go down the road, kind of, you know, 20 years.
I know, it's 20. I did say that. It's not a quick fix.
A tax unit is what it's described as.
But we don't want to be in the situation that we're looking in Italy at the moment. We're in a dire situation, as many other countries are when it comes to population, where you've got villages emptying
Japan
out.
Japan is probably one of the better
Japan is worse. Let's take Europe. Let's just go for Italy. You've got properties being sold in small villages all over Italy being sold for €1. Because they just want to populate the villages. They just want people living in them. They're abandoned. And, you know, we don't want to be in that situation.
That's also down to cities, though. And usually when you buy that house for €1, there's a massive problem.
And they're offering grants for people to move into these villages just to populate the towns, the small towns across Europe. I mean...
We've done the same thing here.
Well, I know we do in Glentuck areas. I know that for a fact, yeah.
We have specific grants for rural housing, for, you know, or rural town.
Yeah, but we're not selling properties for €1.
No, but you know, the thing is, I mean, Italy is also a country with what I think is 60-odd million people in it. So, like, the scale there is different.
But their population will be gone down by 1 million people by 2030.
Yeah, and these are things that every country will grapple with, because...
So we need to fix it, Carl. We can't just ponder and pander on these things. We've got to fix them, because otherwise the future depends on it.
it's not as simple as that. You could also encourage people to provide for themselves. Okay, so you could cut what the state does for people. You could cut the government in half. That's a choice no one ever seems to mention. Like, why is
but
it?
But that's not going to fix. And all those things are good things to save money. But that's not going to fix the population.
But the money doesn't need to be there if we fix those problems, because the government is making increased largesse all the time and throwing it on the shoulders.
Yeah, but what do we do? Do we wait till it goes down to one child per couple before we start to really take it seriously? How far do we let it go down?
Chop government spending tomorrow. Chop the size of the government tomorrow.
But by the way, I agree with you. And absolutely, I agree with you. But that's still not going to fix this problem. That doesn't make children people go out and have children.
What I'm trying to say is, you don't need as much money for the future if you reduce the amount that we're committing to all future generations today.
But I want to see the future with families in it. I want to see the future with people with two or three kids.
No one's saying that
nobody knew that healthcare could be so complicated.
Trump was a failure on healthcare.
Hundreds of thousands of black Americans lost healthcare insurance. That is outrageous.
And if he's president again, he would cancel insurance for millions more of us.
We cannot go back. President Biden and Vice President Harris have lowered healthcare premiums and expanded coverage for black families. They also capped the price of insulin at $35. Joe Biden is getting the job done for people just like me.
I'm Joe Biden, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Biden for president.
Can't have that. But what I'm trying
to
say,
so let's encourage them. Let's make housing affordable. Let's make childcare affordable. Let's encourage women if they want to stay at home, or men if they want to stay at home and look after their kids. Let's encourage them to do it. That's stigmatized them.
Those are all fine things. But, like, you know, I have three kids, and we had three because that's what we were hoping for, and that's part of how our fate worked out. You know, more pregnancies, it didn't work out, etc. But the point that I'm trying to make is the things that you can force change on, in other words, you can say we're making this change and actually do it, aren't something as complex as trying to encourage people to have kids or not. It's actually to just chop the size of the government, chop the size of, you know, the billions that we spend on all the NGOs, the billions that we spend on, you know, all manner of fancy ideas and huge and bigger state pensions for state workers. Just tell people you have to fund for your own retirement.
Oh, well, but hang on, because Maureen, you wanted to say something there, just very quickly before you end. You wanted to say something, Maureen.
A picture going around there yesterday. Look, it was a band garda, and she was walking children to school, and this is past where Tent City is, I presume.
Yeah, but that's they're escorting children to school past Tent City.
That's shocking. Yeah, that should be happening.
No, it is shocking. I know it is.
And Ireland and Denmark abstained from the vote of the migration.
They technically didn't abstain. Ireland just didn't vote. There's a slight difference.
Yeah, well, in other words, by the way, that's not,
I saw loads of people online getting excited about that yesterday, saying, oh, look, we haven't signed the EU migration pact. That's nonsense. The government just haven't had time to do it yet, and they just kicked it down the road.
But the other thing is, as well, if you look at Denmark, they actually passed a rule a few years ago to allow them to process people abroad. They're going to start processing refugee applications.
We should be doing that. We should be doing that. Similar to when I want to go to the United States, I go into Dublin Airport and I do my immigration control in Dublin Airport, not in New York or whatever it happens to be. So that's what should happen. Before people leave a country, they should be processed. Okay, I want to stay there, Carl, with me if you can, because I want to go to Stephen and Dave. I have to go to Dave first. Stephen, I'm going to be with you in a second. Just hang on. Dave, hi, how are you?
I'm crack.
You've heard Carl. He doesn't think maybe that's the solution. You know, the solution obviously is cutting costs in other ways going forward in the population. But, I mean, how do we deal with a population that's decreasing?
Yeah, I don't know, because, I mean, like, to be fair, like, you know, one of the reasons people were having 4, 5, 6, 7 kids back in the day wasn't necessarily because, I mean, if you go back far enough, the reason why people had so many children was in the hopes that a few of them would just survive to adulthood to look after the parents when they got older, you know. And there was no contraception. I mean, like, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of people out there who would want to have a large family and have those
kids.
But
it's not large. Three kids is not a large family.
No, come here. Listen, I know people out there. People have said, like, if I had the money, I'd have 10 kids. You know,
I mean, you're even above average. You've got two. You're above average.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've always been above average. But there has been a cultural shift as well, whereas people are like, they're a little more focused on getting their careers and stuff sorted and, you know, having a house over their heads before they start a family. But a lot of people are just like, I have two or three kids and I'm quite happy with that. So, like, don't get me wrong, I do believe we need to make it like more affordable to have children, because I have two kids born 12 years apart. And I can tell you right now, it is so much more expensive this time around for just the normal things like clothes, nappies, you know, all the other little bits and bobs that come along with them. It just seems to be in this country where it's like, if you're at the top, you're fine. If you're at the bottom or you're near the bottom, you're going to survive as well. Because like, see, because of my circumstances, I actually only pay like 15 quid a week for childcare, you know, because I get a subsidy from the National Childcare Scheme. And that helps me out a lot. Whereas, yeah, and like anybody up to, you know, a couple earning 65,000 can avail of that. Now, you might only get maybe a euro or two or whatever off, but, you know, every little helps.
And okay, but would it work to offer money to people, to offer a tax incentive or, as Viktor Orban did, whether you're a fan of him or not, 35,000 for women alone, which you don't have to pay back once you have your third child. You also get 8,500 towards a family car, a 7-seater car, for example, if you want to buy one. And you get tax exemption for the rest of your life. Are they good incentives?
They're good incentives. I mean, I never in a million years would I ever thought I'd agree with something Viktor Orban would say. But, like, look, they are good incentives. Will they, you know, go far enough to help deal with replacing population? I don't really know. I mean, I don't know many people out there who'd be like, hey, we're going to, you know, we could be tax-free for the next 10 years. Let's spit out child after child after child. You know what I mean? Because, like, there's a lot of people, like, say, people like me, right? Like, I'm done with having kids now. I'm 37. I have my two kids. I don't want any more. There's a lot of people I know. They're like, you know, we're in our mid-30s. But, you know, by the time we hit our 50s, we kind of more or less want our lives back, so to speak. You know what I mean? You don't want to be in your 40s and your 50s still doing night feeds, changing nappies.
But we could do this. And I'm not suggesting to Carl, for example, you do this forever. But you could do it for a generation. Do you understand what I'm saying, Carl? You know, that you put in these costly, and they are costly, incentives, and put it in for one generation. In other words, for 25 years, see how it goes. If it works, great. And then what we can do is we can cut back on it again once we get the population back up again, or we get it back over the 2.3, which is needed to keep the population going. And if it's not working, so you get rid of it anyway. What's the harm in trying it, Carl?
When you say what's the harm in trying it, because you're talking about something that, again, will be billions and billions in government largesse. Like, I never thought that Irish people had any issue with the joy of shagging. I think it's actually one of the things that is universally agreed in this country. So it's not as if we're like...
Yeah, but we are still doing the joy of shagging. We're just using too much contraception. Yeah, okay.
But the point is, though, you know, you could come up with some harebrained idea. You could ban contraception. You could, you know, like the people who have kids probably... in most cases, want to have them anyway. So the only ones who will respond to this are the ones who are already going to have bigger families with or without these types of supports.
I don't know if I agree with you. No, I think it's become a cultural thing now almost, because people realise from a very young age, I can't afford to have three children. I'd be lucky to squeeze two out because we can only afford a two-bedroom apartment.
I see too many people around the city centre and they got five kids and all manner of different family shapes and sizes. That is something where people are putting their own materialistic view ahead of that of maybe wanting to have more children. And that's fine. That's a choice. What I'm trying to say the choice is, instead of it's committing more billions and, you know, into trying to have people have more kids, why not just chop the size of the government in half?
Okay, well, do me a favour. Thank you very much indeed for that, Carl. Dave, stay with me. I want to go to Stephen as well. Stephen, hi, how are you?
I'm doing all right, thanks.
Stephen, I know you wouldn't be a fan of Viktor Orban. I'm pretty sure you're not a fan of Viktor Orban. But I'm just...
give it away.
It's just the idea of incentivizing people to have children, because we are in a similar situation to many European countries whereby we're now below population replacement level. So we have to do something or take some action. We've two choices. We import people or we have more babies. They're the two choices.
But it's never a straightforward binary, so... just to point that out. Secondly, I can't find the population requirement level
2.3
specifically for Ireland.
2.3.
But that's the EU average, and most of the EU countries are at 10 times our population.
Well, the 2.3 is based on the average person live until 83 years of age, isn't it? That's what the 2.3 is based on.
It's based on an average across the EU.
Yeah,
which is the average. Everyone has a population of around 10 times our population. So for Ireland, then, it would be something like, it would be 2.1 or 2 or 1.9 or something to that effect.
Just actually, I think you are right. Actually, I'm going to just check that. I think you actually might be right. I think it is 2.1 for Ireland, actually. You might be right. Sorry.
So, I don't know. I haven't been able to find
you
it.
You are correct, yes. No, I'm just looking here. It is 2.1 for Ireland. Sorry, that was my mistake. 2.1. Okay, but we're still 0.4 below the population replacement level.
And in 5 years or 6 years or whatever it is, the population in the birth rate in Hungary has only gone up by 0.04. Or 0.05.
But I did say to Carl, these things might take a little bit of time to work. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but at the same point, as Carl also pointed out, you know, this will cost the state a shit ton of money because we're foregoing a lot of tax revenue from the women that are going to be financially stable enough to be able to do this in the first place. The families that are going to be financially stable enough to do this in the first place.
But we're not valuing families, Stephen.
The government will have to raise taxes across the board in order to recoup the losses of making this possible for families and pressurizing families in the first place to do it.
Not necessarily. It's only we're a small enough population, so it's only 70,000 children roughly a year, right? So it not necessarily a huge amount of money. But I mean, look what we spent last year on, say, immigration, for example, which that problem should be solved going forward, right? And we'd be spending less on it, hopefully, in the future. So we spent nearly $4 billion on that.
The majority of the private companies being used to provide immigration services in this country are gouging us.
Absolutely.
Because they know they can.
Yeah.
And the government's inefficiencies in different departments also adds to the cost. Also, reducing the number of the reducing the number of politicians in the Dáil requires a referendum because the constitution requires.
I know. I think Gar would be aware of that.
For the population.
Yeah, no, he would be aware of that.
I can't see that. Well,
but mind you, he is right. We have more politicians and councillors in this country than most of the countries per head of population. So I mean, we have a ridiculous amount.
It's written into our constitution. So that's a whole other thing as well. But this idea obviously hasn't worked as well as Victor would have liked. I'm not saying it hasn't worked, but I'm just saying that everything else that everyone else has spoken about in terms of improving the ECCE screen, improving childcare, improving healthcare, improving access to other services, including, you know, maybe a small percentage in wage cuts, or not wage cuts, in tax cuts for employers, would incentivize them taking on more employees, which would incentivize more money going into the public coffers. And then maybe you could look at giving a tax break to mothers and single mothers, because this notion that, you know, the married family is the gold standard is a load of shite, and it always has been.
We'll just stop out of that, Stephen.
I forget who it was saying that him and his partner aren't together or aren't married.
Sean,
and have been together for 20 years.
Yeah.
Sean is covered by the civil partnership bill. Cohabitation Act.
Yeah.
The law already protects them as if he was married.
It's not exactly the same. There are differences, Stephen. There are differences. Marriage gives you more protection.
Yeah, but for the most part, he is protected as much as he can be under the constraints of the law.
Absolutely. If he abandons his wife tomorrow, she could take him to court for redress. I'm well aware. I understand the point. But what I'm saying is, I do believe marriage is important. I do believe the family is important. I do believe we don't support the family. I do believe we've had a psychological or cultural shift away from the idea of, you know, a parent staying at home. And I'm not going to say women, but primarily it seems to be women that want to stay at home.
Parents
staying at home.
And I'm all for that. And they should be allowed. My uncle is a stay-at-home dad.
Okay.
And his partner works from home.
And if you and your partner, for example, decided to adopt a child in the future and your partner wanted to stay at home and mind the child, I believe you should be able to use your partner's tax credits.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
But that should be the way it is.
These are all things that we could do without having to pressure women into giving birth in order to
we're not pressuring women into giving birth. Women naturally give birth anyway. It's a thing we do. We're human beings. We're animals. That's how animals populate. You know what I mean? So let's bring it down to basics.
They do it by choice.
Absolutely. By consent, of course. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
But in saying that, we have gone from having, you know, 20 years ago, an average of 2.5 children, you know, 40 years ago, an average of 3 children, 70 years ago, an average of 5 or 7 children. So we have dropped the population slowly but surely.
And the most recent population decline happened after the 2008 crash. Most people at the bottom end of society haven't recovered from the 2008 crash.
So how
do... And it hasn't come down all that much either.
Yeah, but hold on. But the economy is doing better now. People are in a better position, generally speaking. I know there's problems, but they're in a better position, generally speaking. And we're still... The number is still going down.
Well, the costs have still gone up. Costs of the wages and everything and taxes haven't gone in line with inflation.
Dave, let me ask Dave a question.
That would help.
I'm sorry, this might be a bit of an awkward question to ask Dave now that I think about it.
Work wages, you're fine.
Okay, Dave, put yourself back in the situation you were in 2 years ago. If your wages were better, if your money was better, would you and Michelle have had more children? Do you think, was there a plan to have more children than two?
Oh, yeah. No, 100%. We would have had more. And to be honest with you, we were probably going to try for another one around this time anyway. Well, and one of the biggest constraints was cost. You know what I mean? Because it's not just like, oh, your baby costs so much. You know what I mean? There's like so many things that need to be fixed. We need to have affordable housing for people. We need to bring people's wages up. We need to bring down the cost. I mean, the fact that childcare is so exorbitantly expensive for so many people, yet the people who work in childcare get paid peanuts. That's a massive issue as well. We also have a lack of places for childcare. Like my own is in a creche at the moment, but I was incredibly lucky to get into that creche because most of the creches around the place have a 12-month wait list. One place is like, we can't even give you a time on a wait list. I had to put his name in for school as soon as he was born. Like, you know, like we have, it's weird that like we need more kids and we need more people, but we also need to build up the infrastructure to deal with that. Because if we had a baby boom, we wouldn't have enough school places or creche places to put those kids. But in regards to taxes and stuff, I know people know this. If you're working, you can claim your partner's tax credits if they're not working. That's still a thing.
There is a particular tax credit for it. It used to be called a stay-at-home wife, but it's not called that anymore. It's called a stay-at-home dependent. So there's a particular tax credit, but you can't take all of her tax credits.
You can't. Well, you take some of it, but also if you're a single parent as well, you can claim what they call the single parent tax credit. I mean, I have it myself.
And, yeah, tax credits. You know,
raised my tax credits by 60%.
No, but the point I made to Stephen is if your missus is staying at home or your partner is staying at home, you should be able to take all of her tax credits. Because she's just sitting there not using them. And you work as a unit, so you should be able to use them. Then, sorry, Dave, sorry for cutting you short there. Hang on, I need to go to Rene as well. Rene. Hi, Rene.
Hello, Niall. How are you?
Yeah, you agree with this idea. Stephen thinks it won't work. It won't make a difference.
Well, look, obviously everything's going to make some sort of difference. Me and my wife, we have two children. And right now, at this very minute, we're paying €300 a week to get our children minus. And that's for 4 days.
Right.
On our last, on a Friday, the mother-in-law, thankfully, looks after them. Right? So that's €300 out of our wages every single week that we have to pay. Not only do we have to pay that for child money, we have to pay higher electricity bills, we have to pay higher diesel bills, we have to pay higher kerosene bills. Everything has gone through the roof.
Is it actually worth the second person in your relationship going to work?
Probably not, but we have to. Do you know what I mean? We have to. We need to work. My wife works in the school, and you know half of her wages is going on childcare. We can't just say, well, we can't take the other half and just forget about it. No, we need the money in order to survive, to pay for the mortgage, to pay for our, you know, to start putting money away for the winter so we can heat our home in the winter time, you know. That's just the way it's gone. Everything has gone crazy. Like our electricity bill has gone from, we're only looking at the averages there recently, has gone from about 200 every second month to 400 a month, every 2 months, you know. So everything has gone through the roof. Yes, we were actually never going to have children. Things happened, I suppose. And, I mean, we wouldn't change it for the world of us. We absolutely love every bit, moment of it. But it's crazy.
And if it was cheaper to have children, in other words, if all those costs you've just talked to me about were lower, would you have more children?
Well, definitely would encourage us to have an extra child, yes. Possibly. We do have the room in the house for it. But, you know, the government needs to, first of all, look at the thing of maternity, right? A mother should not have to go back to work after 3 or 6 months, right? It should be a minimum of 2 years, in my opinion. Right?
In some countries it is, yeah. I think Ukraine, in Estonia and places like that, I think it's a year and a half or 2 years or something.
It is. It should be a minimum year and a half, 2 years, you know, that the mother should be staying at home with the child. You know, it shouldn't be rare.
Or you can arrange to split that with your partner, whatever, yeah.
Exactly, whichever, you know. And a mother going on maternity leave, I think to look at the last, I lived in New Zealand, and when I was out sick over there, I had a surgery done over there. I was so well covered over there, I got 85% of my wages until I went back to work. And I think it should be the same with, you know, when a mother goes into having a child, they should look at your wages, calculate your wages over, I think it was last 13 or 14 weeks, and then it should calculate the average and pay 85% to the mother to stay at home, you know, on that wage.
Okay, well, let me put that to Stephen. Stephen, that's not a bad idea. You know, maternity leave currently at the moment is 3 months before, 3 months after, 6 months roughly, maternity leave. You don't get paid if you take half time after that. Some countries it's a lot higher. Some countries like America it's a lot lower, mind you. Then if we gave, say, 2 years of maternity leave and encouraged people to stay at home with their children, you know, that might, you know, incentivize people to have more children.
I think it would be a great idea, yeah. Like, just to pick up on a point, you know, you said, you know, 25 odd years ago, the birth rate was much higher. 25 years ago, we were in the middle of the Celtic Tiger. Society was doing great. We had very little crime. We were doing great. Everyone had money in their pockets. You could have your foreign holiday once a year, and it was great. When society is happy and healthy, people are happy and healthy. And when people are happy and healthy, they will have more children. That's the way it works. Because society has been on a negative slope for the last decade or more, the population rate has gone down because we're all kind of going, well, I can't really afford to do this and afford the rent and afford the mortgage and afford the heating bills and afford the education, you know.
Okay, just as a point, statistical point, the peak of the Celtic Tiger was 2009. 75,554 children were born. And last year, or should I say...
So nearly 10,000 more.
Yeah, at 57,540 in 2023. So, I mean, that's okay, a significant drop. So yeah, significant
that
drop.
Is, yeah, it is.
Another point
I want. Oh, by the way, somebody has texted in and made a good point. You can like it or lump it. They said since the introduction of abortion, up to 9,000 children are aborted every year. Well, you know, it's a point. You know, whether you agree with it or disagree with it, it's a point, isn't it?
It is a point. Yeah. I don't see how it's relevant.
Well, it is relevant, isn't it?
Well, do the statistics also record why each individual abortion happens?
Okay, so if there was no legalized abortion, how many of those people would have gone to England to have an abortion? According to statistics at the time, 3,500. So let's take it, be conservative about it.
They're the 3,500 that would have been able to afford to go. To take time off work, to travel, to put themselves up in accommodation or not, some women would go and would fly over and back on the same day.
Yeah, but the other 5,000 or 4,000, you know, those children are not in state care at the moment, I assume. I assume those people just got used to the idea.
Here's my ultimate question to you. Should a woman have to travel for healthcare? Should they have to leave the state?
Let's not get into that debate today, right? I wanted to address it because somebody sent in the text, okay?
It's a good point. It's worth a conversation.
Okay. Getting back to, sorry, Renee.
Yeah, the question I have is, if the pressure wasn't there, would the women have an abortion? Like, we have to look at the bigger picture.
Exactly.
Okay?
Yeah, that's probably a good point.
We need to look at the bigger picture, right? So this mother is sitting there. She goes, right, I'm living with my parents. I can't have a child in this house. But it happens. And if I do have the child, I can't go back to work because, you know, who's going to mind the child? Then the child gets to a creche age. We have no creche spaces. My eldest is going to creche in September, okay? We registered the minute he was born. And we only got a spot in it this year, right? We are about our youngest lad, and can he go to the same creche as well? And we were told no, because they have no space. So now we have to bring one of our children in the morning, before my wife goes to work, right, because I start work at 5 o'clock in the morning. Before my wife goes to work, she has to drop the child off to the creche, but before she has to meet a woman in our house to meet our youngest lad. Because there's just no creche space available.
That's ridiculous at a point somebody made earlier on as well. Sorry, I have two or more people to get to as well. Thank you, Renee, for that. Stay there, Stephen. Let me just go to Joseph. Joseph, hi, how are you?
Hi there. No, thank you for having me on again.
Thank you, Joseph. You heard Stephen. It would make no difference. He doesn't believe it would make a difference to, you know, incentivize financially women to have babies.
Okay, well, ask yourself the question. That, anyway. I'll put this one to Stephen. Okay, I'll put this one to Stephen, okay? Stephen, what happens if we do nothing? What happens if we leave it on the course it's on?
What happens if we do nothing is we have to restabilize society then to keep the level of funding that we want, to keep the way society wants to be. We restabilize.
How do you restabilize when there's more older people than there's younger to provide for them?
Maybe raise the retirement age, which is a nonsense idea as well, but it's one argument that I could put forward. We restabilize by refinancializing our system.
But realistically, both of you, Stephen, we don't want an aging population. You know what I mean?
No, we don't.
Look, there's no civilization in the history of human existence that has ever survived having more older people than the younger productive type. We need as many young people in their 30s as possible working, because it is in their 30s and 40s that people are the most productive, that they contribute the most, and that is enough to sustain both themselves, their children, and their parents. If you have more older people than younger, the economy will collapse. It will collapse. There's no way about it. You can't refinance. You can't do anything. That's it. You're gone. There is no alternative. There's no way to do it. And I want to bring up a point really quickly. You said about the...
Niall's alternative, that we just keep importing more workers.
That wasn't my plan. I'm just saying to you, they're the only alternatives. That's the only other alternative, is importing people. But sorry, Joseph, you're telling me exactly what I said from the very start, that you can't continue down this path because it would be the end of the country, the economy would collapse. And by the way, if every country in the world felt the same way, it would be the end of civilization, right? Eventually. Okay, so how do you solve the problem? You're telling me what's wrong, but you're not telling me how we solve it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, what they're doing over there in Hungary, I absolutely think that's the right idea. But there's 10 other steps, because you have to take it from a complete perspective. And like, so it has to be crushed.
Move your head there, Joseph. Move your head.
Sorry?
Just move your head there. You just went out of range there. Sorry, say that again, the last bit you said.
Sorry, look, there has to be everything to provide for families who want to have kids. So there has to be crush places. There has to be houses. There has to be hope for the future. I think that's the biggest thing, is hope for the future. They say, my kids will grow up in a good country that's stable, that can provide for them, that has good, you know, ecology and everything else, right? And that is the one and only goal, I think, of the state and of the people, should be to provide a better life for our kids than we had ourselves. Now, that we can do. That is easy. It's not easy. It's going to require all the work of everyone all the time, as it always has. But if that's your goal, you will succeed in it. It doesn't look like our government at the moment have put that as a goal. It looks like they put self-benefit in there. And so they're all going to have a great time. They're all, you know, going to be wealthy and well off. But it's not going to help us, you know, the people in general. Look at other countries which have failed us. Look at Japan. Look at South Korea. They're absolutely collapsing. They. I don't know if Japan as a country will exist in 20 years. It's just not going to be, because there are not enough people there.
They're not having sex anymore, by the way. They're not having relationships anymore.
Yeah, their whole culture is based around work. They work like 12-hour days, pretty much everyone, all the time. They have no time for relations. They don't even know how to interact with people. And their country is going to collapse. And you can't solve it. This isn't a problem you solve by migration, because everything that makes Ireland, Ireland, must survive. What a country is basically the collective culture and values of the people there. So if we import a load of people, are they going to learn the Irish language? Are they going to pick up GAA sports?
I only said there only are two ways to fix the problem, and I don't like plan B. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, plan B isn't a plan.
No, it's not a plan at all. And it should never be a plan, but I have a funny feeling that's what our government are up to at the moment. But I don't believe it should ever be a plan.
No, so that isn't saving the country.
No, because we lose our identity. Because we just lose our identity then. We're not Ireland anymore.
Yeah, it's not that we lose our identity. It's that we die off and the country is I'm going to say, recolonized. That's what that is, effectively. And I don't want to be xenophobic. I'm very happy to have, you know, different people of different cultures and races and whatever coming in here supporting the Irish people. But they have to know that, you know, if they're coming in here, it's not to replace the Irish, to integrate with the Irish, to be part
of the Irish society. Yes, to assimilate.
And the vast majority do integrate with society.
No, they don't.
There are plenty of people from Ukraine that are learning Irish. There are plenty of people from Eastern Arab countries playing on GAA teams. Okay. There are plenty of people from Africa doing all the jobs that Irish people do and living Irish lives.
Oh, really?
This comes back to making society happier and healthier. That's why Japan is failing, according to some people, because they're too focused on work. We're all in this country too focused on work because it's too expensive to live. When we improve society and all of the factors within society, people are happier and healthier. And when people are happier and healthier, they're more willing to have children because they feel like they have the hope that they need, the support that they need, and society will work better. That is how you make it happen.
Okay, but Joseph, I get the impression that you're telling me that multiculturalism is not working.
No, it's not working because a huge number of the recent immigrants, let's say, I think out of every, 60-70% of recent migrants are not working. I mean, they're not integrating. They don't have the language skills to take a lot of jobs. They don't have the training. A lot of them come in with no training and background. So, they're just not eligible to work. If we were running a program where only people who had, secured a job in the country from abroad and then they came in with a work permit, then that would work. But we're bringing in people who have nothing. They have no education. They're coming from countries with no education system, effectively. And they're not skilled in anything. And they're saying, I will come here and get a job. So the only thing they can do is take the low paid wages jobs, maybe drive a taxi or whatever.
The point that you're making is that many will just always be a burden of the state.
There will always be a net burden on the state.
Stephen, I agree with you. There are many Irish people a burden on the state, but we're stuck with them.
A lot of them are shipped out of the country. A lot of them have self-deported from the country, the Irish. By all means, cite your references in the thread on Twitter or something like that, and I'll take a look at it, because there's plenty of evidence to say contrary.
And by the way, it is a kind of vague question, but Stephen, do you generally believe, because there isn't a huge amount of evidence around the world that multiculturalism works? Do you believe it works?
Anecdotally, from all of the other people from all of the other countries that I've met, they're either working or doing their best to work. And they're doing their best to integrate into society. And that's only anecdotal research, because
anecdotal experience doesn't hold up to the statistical reality of what's actually going on.
By all means, provide your statistics, and I'll go and find some statistics when I actually have time to do it, because I have to go to work now in about 10 minutes.
Okay. Well, hang on. Let me just bring in Aaron then. Sorry, Aaron. Hi, how are you? Thank you, Stephen. I know you have to go.
Hi, how are you? Yeah.
Go ahead, Aaron.
Yeah, you'll do the most.
Yeah, no, I actually read something recently in Japan. There's a company that makes nappies. They've stopped making them for babies now, only for old people. I don't know.
By the way, it's the same in the United States. There's more nappies made for elderly people than there is for babies in the United States now. It's the same, statistically.
Oh, yeah. See, I mean, it's a very...
That's not a good thing.
Whatever about... No, it's just so nihilistic, people who wouldn't want to solve this. That's a frightening kind of way out, isn't it, even if we're to go extinct? So I think whatever can be done should. Lots of countries did this. Iran, when their population was wiped out in their war with Iraq, did this. They gave huge subsidy and went to mothers,
to have children.
To have children, yeah, because you just can't have this inverted pyramid where there's all these old people, and it's the shortage. Doctors need to be born. Farmers who farm food have to be born. The people who transport all this. I mean, it goes to everything.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's what I've stated. If it continues down this path for a long time, it will collapse. It could collapse the whole economy.
Yeah, one of the reasons I understand for the mass migration, the government know this. They've been having consultants telling them this in 30 years, we're in for trouble. So I think it's a kind of a, I think it's Plan B, you called it.
Plan B.
Heard all these people in.
Can I jump in?
Yes, very quickly, Joseph. Go on. I've only got 5 minutes here and I've got to Nuala as well.
If you look at it, most leaders of European countries, they don't have children. I think there was a conference there some years ago, and this is Angela Merkel's time, but pretty much 90% of the EU leaders' countries, none of them have kids.
I would argue, to Joseph, the reason for that is because they're very career-orientated people.
Yes, they may be very career-orientated people, but the problem here is they don't have a perspective of, am I building? What am I saving for the next generation? And they kind of have this, because they've put all their time into their career, it's to build up my career. It's just a kind of selfish mindset, and they don't have the idea of a family support families. And this has caused a lot of the problems that we have around Europe right now, is that the mentality of governments is not family oriented. It's not growing. It's not prosperous and multiplying.
Yeah.
It's profit now. It's GDP, or it's most, you know, we can extract from the system. And they're you know, they completely forgot about the culture, the values of the, you know, native populations. And they just think, you know, these people are fungible. It's basically, I can replace any Irish person with any Ukrainian or Polish or German or Swedish or Nigerian. And it doesn't matter, as long as they're, you know, productive to the economy, or as long as they have a GDP output or whatever, I can do.
Yeah, sorry, Stephen, you wanted to say something finally there before you went. Go ahead.
Sorry, just the last point just sounds utterly ridiculous to me, that, you know, a parent, a person who doesn't have a child couldn't possibly have the same perspective as a parent, and thus would not be pursuing things that are good for parents. You know, the majority, there are plenty of other people in government and in parliament around the world that have children and have parents and siblings that have children. You know, so it's, that's what I'm saying. It's not a
okay, sorry, Aaron, you wanted to just respond to that quickly, because I have to go to Newland and finish up. Go on.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a lot of people, like, they very aggressively try to recruit women to validate their own bad decisions. I've seen an awful lot of that. I work in a high-power job, like, that happens an awful lot. I mean, I think, I don't know who used the word, the disgusting word, breeders, but they want women as wage slaves and consumers. That's what they want.
Yeah, somebody used the word breeders at the start of the show, right? I think it was Morris actually said, you're encouraging women to be breeders, right? But, it's crude, and it's a very crude way of putting it. But essentially, women are the only ones who can have children. And it's the same with every animal in the animal kingdom. I mean, if women don't have children, we're doomed.
But now you mean it in the best possible terms. When people use that, it's a derogatory kind of word.
Oh, I know. I'm not suggesting women are incubators or anything like that, because then we're just treating them like incubators. Women have a purpose in this world just like men, and it's not just about having babies. You know, without women, the population doesn't continue.
And we should restore the deference and respect to mothers that has been kind of stripped away by, you know, wokus.
Mm. I would completely agree with you. It has been. I believe the value of women has been taken away in society, particularly over the last 4 or 5 years. I need to go to Nuala very quickly before I finish. Sorry, Nuala, hi, how are you?
I'm good now. I was just listening there, and I think you're right. You know, I think the idea of motherhood has been downgraded to, say, like if a woman said she had 4 kids, now people would be scratching their heads and calling her the greatest fool on earth, you know?
Yeah.
Because, but at the same time, I was, you know, in the hospital, and in Galway, 48% of the staff in the hospital, and that goes overall between cleaners, everybody, is foreign. Foreign nationals, you know.
Okay.
And so then
generally, I don't think most people have an issue with that, do they?
No.
It would be better if we had enough people to do all of those things, but we don't. Yeah.
My point was that I was went in the lobby, and there was 6 student nurses together. So I went over and I asked them. I said, "Do you intend to go to Australia now when you get your exams?" And they were kind of smiling, and one of them said, "Yeah." And I said, "Do you know?" I said, "We have funded your education to now. And yes, you're going to go away, and we're going to have to replace you."
But mind you, I've mentioned this a long, long time ago, and I've said it numerous times, that when it comes to those situations, we should be giving student loans, which they don't have to pay back, provide they use their education in their own country. We should be encouraging nurses by paying them good money to stay in the country. That way we don't need to have as many people come into the country to do their job. So we should be encouraging them to stay here. Same with teachers, same with Garda, same with
everyone. We're educating our own for the market abroad.
No, like we shouldn't be doing that.
Years ago when people went abroad, it was because they had very little education and they did manual work abroad in England and places like that. But now we're exporting people.
Skilled workers.
Maybe we've over-educated people. But there's no payback. You know, payback for the money that's on the Susie grant and all that. And I don't mean just nurses. You'd find the same with a lot of other people who have got Susie grant and all the rest. And then they head off. You know, there's no feeling that you have to pay back to your society. But going back to, you know, motherhood has to have a value. Like, I mean, nature, if you look out the door and you see the ducks and everything out there, they're protective of their own, and they see that they wouldn't be there next spring if they all decided to fly off, you know, not look after their own. And they're just animals and birds.
You think we're more intelligent. We should know better, wouldn't you? Listen, Nuala and Aaron, I'm really sorry, but I've gone over time, and I do apologise for keeping the two of you as long as you did to wait to come on. So I apologise to everybody who couldn't get on as well. Thank you very much indeed, Nuala. And thank you, Aaron, Stephen, and everybody who got involved in that conversation. Now, I've got some messages here that I have to read out. Hold on, I'll just read these out for you first. Okay, let me see. Anna says, if you live off the state, you can have as many kids as you want. And if you work hard and pay your way, you can't afford them. How ironic is that? Peter says, you also have to factor in abortions, declining population in Ireland, over 10,000 last year. Was it 9,000 something, actually? There was a 10. Anyway, Jerry says, this is the kind of policy that alienates single women, especially young girls, who fear conservative men will see them as baby machines. Liberty Strike says, I can't listen to this nonsense. We're in the middle of a housing crisis and you're lying to people by saying that people don't get help with childcare costs. Ireland is drowning in welfare. Hungary is nothing in comparison. Alien says, extra tax breaks for each child is definitely a great idea. And Aaron says, the idea of paying women to have more kids isn't new. They already do it in Russia. Well, but somebody did mention Russia earlier on as well. I've got a voice note here too I want to just play for you quickly if I can. Where is it? Oh yeah, there it is there. There we go.
Well, I think it's actually gas, because do you remember when the COVID hit? Everybody was saying that there's going to be a big baby boom after it. Jesus Christ, it's the total opposite. There you go. Oh, to show you. They weren't having sex. I'm curious now what they were doing.
Aye, Sarah. You're curious what they were doing if they weren't having sex during COVID. I don't know. Maybe they were just staying within their 6K and worried about that, and they were wearing their masks in bed or something. I don't know. Thank you to everybody who got involved in the show. Don't forget, by the way, keep supporting us. Keep supporting the election campaign and also the show as well. You can support the show by going to nileboylan.com. Please support us. We rely on you financially. So please, please, please subscribe to the show. You can watch all the previous episodes. You can download them all. You can watch them all on video. Whereas on Spotify, you can only listen to them. So please do. A lot of the shows, of course, we have Zoom guests and what have you, so you get to see all that as well. Please do subscribe to us and support the show. There's three of us here. We don't get paid. And we give you this platform every single day, even though I'm up to my eyes canvassing and campaigning. I'm squeezing this in the middle of the day every single day when we can. So please do support the show. Also, by the way, don't forget, in case you didn't know already, I'm running for election. Of course, I'm running for the Dublin constituency in the EU elections on June the 7th. I want to be your voice in Europe. So if you want to vote no to the government and the opposition parties, which I assume you do, because let's be honest, they don't care about you. They're not listening to you. I've been listening to you for 30 years and I've just given up a career, a 30-year career, a paid salary, a paid job, which I still was in the middle of a contract in that I could have kept going. I've just given that up because I want to do something better. I want to represent you in Europe. So please do vote for me and do support our campaign, by the way. If you can donate anything to our campaign, we don't have the deep pockets Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil and all the other parties do have. We're doing this on our own, okay? So please do support the campaign. 20 quid, 10 quid, I don't care. Go to nileboylanforeurope.ie. That's nileboylanforeurope.ie. Just to let you know how well we're doing, and we are doing extremely well. We're third in the betting in Boyle Sports. Paul Trevaux, by the way, who has a huge reach on Twitter, got 6,500 votes for a poll he did. And according to that poll, 84% of people who voted said they were voting for me. So, as number one. So thank you to all 6,400 of those people, if you're listening. And thank you to everybody who's saying their vote for me. But please do go out and vote for me. It's really important. Don't rely on somebody else to do it. Don't be thinking, Ash and I'll be grand. I'll just take the day off today. Go down to the polling station and vote for me. It's really, really important. We want to make sure we kick the government parties and the government candidates in the arse where they deserve it, just like we did in the referendum. Please do go out and support me on voting day. It's only a little over three weeks away. I should talk to you again tomorrow at 12. Until then, have a great day.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.
Nobody knew that healthcare could be so complicated.
Trump was a failure on healthcare.
Hundreds of thousands of Black Americans lost healthcare insurance. That is outrageous.
And if he's president again, he would cancel insurance for millions more of us.
We cannot go back. President Biden and Vice President Harris have lowered healthcare premiums and expanded coverage for Black families. They also capped the price of insulin at $35. Joe Biden is getting the job done for people just like me.
I'm Joe Biden, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Biden for President.